To jump into episode zero.
Let's do it.
All right, man. Guys, welcome. Ladies, welcome to the intro episode of the Chondro Lounge. I'm Lucas, joined by Chuck, and we're starting a brand new journey, and I'm really excited about this. Chuck, I know that there were like some when this originally was going on, I kind of had an idea for another co-host and things kind of didn't work out. And you were the first person that I kind of hit up, which is kind of odd because we've only met once in person. And you were crazy enough to fly over to Bill's for that Arlington party for literally like, I don't know, I feel like you were on a plane longer than you were at Bill's.
Yeah, I was on the ground in Texas for 19 hours.
That's dedication right there. But yeah, I mean, for those of you that like aren't familiar with me, I'm Lucas, owner of Lab Exotics, and I'm one of the co-hosts of the Retic Lounge. And recently we kind of talked about creating a network called the Reptile Lounge Network. It seems like everybody right now is like doing the network thing. Me and Nathan had talked about this, as early as December, and my reason for wanting to network was because I wanted to jump into doing a Chondro podcast. And Chuck, I don't know if you ever watched the episode of the Retic Lounge where we had Bill on, but Bill said something that really stood out to me. And that was, he was talking about his experience with doing his podcast and how he started GTP Keeper, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Yeah. So,
yep.
He started that off and he's like, I didn't know much about them. And he's like, if you want to learn about a species, do a podcast on them. And I was like, damn, like I just jumped in and fortunately I asked you and it didn't take you more than like a couple days to turn around and say, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. It took some talking to the wife. Usually when someone has to talk to their wife, they're usually not going to buy a snake from you. Usually that's a no,
right?
But she told me to do it. It was funny. You called me in free agency, man. I was in retirement. I'm like Tom Brady. You called me up, and I said,
"There you go. Sign with the Bucks again."
Yeah. You know what? I'll win a Super Bowl this year. Let's do it.
Yeah. I'm excited for this. So, I've only had Chondro since September of 23. And right now we're recording at the end of March. This is probably all going to air towards the end of April, but. So what we're talking about, I don't know, 3 or 6 months, 6-7 months that I've been keeping Chondros, but they've been my favorite snake for well over a decade now. I mean, growing up, I remember seeing them on magazines and reading about them and just, mesmerized by, all the pictures and the color change, but I was always too scared to like jump in, and go figure because I keep and breed retics. You would think like, why are you scared to keep Chondros if you keep retics? It was always like that delicacy, right? And listening to other podcasts, I finally was like, you know what? It doesn't seem that bad. Let me jump in. And it hasn't been that bad. They are 10 times easier to keep than my retics.
Dude, yeah, they're set it and forget it.
Yeah, that's literally it. And what I like and appreciate about both of our styles is we're keeping in two different ways. Like I'm strictly ambient. You do the traditional gradient. But you want to talk about set it, forget it, and ambient. Like, I don't got to worry about thermostats. I don't got to worry about any of that. And they're thriving. They're doing great.
That's awesome. I think there's more than a few ways to keep them successfully. You just have to have a right combination of all the different aspects of husbandry and make it work. And I think, the environment, the region you live is very influential on successes with breeding and keeping. And Gary Schivino always talks about, I think I mispronounced his last name, Schivino, he always talks about he had to go to go, I think, cocoa husk, because he was having shed issues in the Northeast. And I have shed issues myself. I got to go with, you know, these bowls down here. I'm pointing the opposite way. These bowls are Pyrex. So they're pretty bowls, but they're not very large. You don't provide a larger surface area to bring up the ambient humidity. So I have to supplementary spray, you know, and I spray my animals directly, especially during shed, or I will get stuck sheds and I'll have to soak them.
Yeah, you know what? I've actually, so my garage has a humidifier, has a dehumidifier. The lowest my ambient, you know, humidity gets is about like 55 to 60, and it'll get up to 70, 75. But when I got it, I actually was over spraying at first. So I've scaled it back, but I still will spray them 3 times a week because every single one of them, even my captive Aroos, or long-term captive, you know, they're imports, even they drink from their coils, and you know, all the juveniles that I have do as well. So I figured if they're doing that, you know, it doesn't hurt. But yeah, fortunately for me, I got crazy amount of airflow. And so they'll, you know, the cages dry out, you know, pretty quickly. But, I kind of introduced myself a little bit in my experience with chondros and, you know, dating back, but Chuck, why don't you introduce yourself and chill chondros and take it away with who you are and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah. My name is Chuck Amakoon. I own Chill Chondros. I strictly only keep and breed green tree pythons. I got started right around COVID right before COVID happened. I got my first one and then I got more, and my first year trying to pair, I was unsuccessful. And I switched some stuff up. I got some good mentors, some good friends. You know, Patrick Holmes has helped me a lot. Socrates, consider him a big brother of mine. And then quite a few peers that are on the same level as me in a journey with, you know, working our way up in the chondro community rungs. We're the middle class right now. We're trying to make it to the upper middle class. So I just hatched out my second clutch successfully. Actually, believe it or not, I got another pairing going right now, which is looking promising. We'll see what happens in the next few weeks. But the ones I just hatched out, I'm more excited for than the ones I got paired right now. They're something I really want to work with, who's a good-looking red neonate Biak female with a lot of yellow splotching on her. Nice. My male Manicori was a yellow neonate, but just an unbelievable example of just a contrasting electric blue barbed wire dorsal going down his back. And I was fortunate enough to be really lucky with the amount of red babies I got out of the clutch. I had 10 eggs. 9 of them made it out of the egg. Unfortunately, 2 of them had birth deformities, but they're alive and functioning. One has no eyes. I think it was due to a power outage, due to a storm early on in incubation.
Oh, that's right. I remember I was watching the Trap Talk, and you were talking about, like, I saw in the comments, you were talking about your power being out. No, thank you.
Yeah, I ran the snake room in the incubator off my Tundra. I idled my Tundra out back and put an inverter in it, and that got me through the storm. But
quick thinking, man.
Yeah. My dad is my reminder for everything. And he said, hey, there's a bad storm coming in. You might want to prepare for a power outage. So that's what I did. I set up the inverter. I had an extension cord already ran in the room with a towel that was, you know, slammed on the window, and it went out quickly. And then I stayed up all night bailing out my sump pit manually, but I didn't have to worry about the eggs. Nice. So the one with no eyes went to a good friend of mine. He's manages a couple vet hospitals, so it's in the best possible care. It's taken a couple assisted meals already. Nice. And I think it'll do just fine. And then it's one-eyed sibling I have is it's taken assist meals, but all the other ones have taken multiple meals on their own. So
nice. And that what number clutch is that for you? How many clutches have you successfully hatched?
This is number 2.
Nice, man. So what I love about that is, like, I'm coming with almost no experience, right? Like, again, years and years of reading, research, like knowing the animals, but not getting the hands-on experience and diving in. And you're kind of like right at the cusp of getting into the breeding and successfully having clutches, which is, like you said, middle class, right? I definitely think that, like, some people might say, like, oh, middle class, you need to have a couple more seasons. But no, like, for me, just based off of what everybody says, like, even just producing and hatching and feeding and establishing seems like a big barrier, and it seems like a big hurdle. So having you on is an opportunity from, like, for me to learn from you when we do our own episodes. But, you know, we are going to have a line of amazing, amazing guests that are also going to be, you know, at least for me, you know, this is like a selfish journey almost. Like, I'm over here just trying to get information from everybody and learn so that, like, I don't have questions. I can literally refer to my own episodes to be able to get all the info. And so I feel like I'm in a good spot. I can learn from you. I can learn from the people that we're interviewing and just establish some, you know, good relationships and friendships along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Like I said, at first I was like, when you asked me, I was like, I don't know if I want to, you know, do another show. And then, like I said, I talked to my wife, and now I'm excited. Now I get to, I get to talk to all my friends on podcasts now, and, you know, not have to wait for them to text me back. I get to ask Stiegel and, Mark and everybody questions, right off the rip.
Exactly. And what I would like, I mean, I get to use you. Like, you're the one who's got relationships with everybody in the industry. And I'm just like trying to tiptoe in. And, you know, I will say I've gotten pretty close to, like, the Texas keepers, right? Like, Mark Hager, talked to, Bill, have an animal from, talked to Patrick, have two Beaks from, you know, so a lot of the people here in Texas, Steven, you know, who's actually on MJ's podcast while we're recording this. Steven is, you know, I've talked to him, and I'm good friends with, you know, his, fiance, I want to say, Jennifer. She's Mod Exotic. She keeps and breeds retics. Nice. a lot of the Texas people I've gotten close with, you know, but I'm excited to kind of venture out and use this platform to be able to just hear all the different ways of keeping and breeding. And, like, you know, one thing that I'm really excited for this is we're going to explore and just dive into, like, different lineages and dive into, like, different lines, like calico and all these different things. And I would love to just do, like, you know, history tracking and do, like, a history episode and all these different, like, amazing lines that have been established. So yeah, for me, this is a learning journey, part of the Reptile Lounge Network that we're going to have on the Reptile Lounge Network YouTube channel. And yeah, like, I don't think that, you know, even the biggest chondro nerd, I don't think is as excited as me to be able to talk to some of these people.
I'll tell you what, on the complete opposite end, what might surprise you is how exciting and how intriguing it's going to be to see all of the new things that all of these new keepers and these new, well, the new breeders,
right,
are these techniques and these different tools that they're implementing, that are my peers. You know, Michael Majoros from Coloring Outside the Lines is, you know, one of my best friends in this. And, me and him developed, together, a guinea pig log, which we cut a hole in the top, or I thought it up. We thought it up together. He made the actual original prototype, and then there was improvements made. It's a guinea pig log with a Wyze Wi-Fi camera mounted directly on top. So you don't have to pull the top off, and you can watch your female live feed laying eggs and know exactly what she's doing inside that egg box and time it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Perfectly. Yeah. I mean, we watched my female lay on this TV. My old man came over, we watched the Eagles on a Sunday, and I watched my female lay, and, you know, you can time it as soon as she takes her coils off of her eyes and puts her head up on the top of that beehive and sticks her nose down in there. You time it by 1 hour, let those eggs calcify and dry out. And I went right in there perfectly timed. They peeled apart perfect. They were calcified enough, but soft enough to peel apart.
She's still tired enough where she's not going to come at you?
Oh, no. That snake
probably... She still came at you?
Yeah, that snake has probably the same personality as my wife. It don't matter how tired she is. She's got enough time to hurt me or bite me.
Oh, man. I'll say one thing on the retic side. If you catch them within that 3-4 hour window afterwards, haven't been struck once by a retic after... They lay. Really? They're dead, man. They're exhausted. And I'm sure you've seen it with chondros. I'm sure it's the same with snakes, you know, around. But man, seeing a you know, like a 14-foot, normally 80-pound animal just look depleted, like on the verge of death almost. Like, it's no wonder why they don't care to strike.
Yeah. Yeah. This past female, though, she had a little bit left in her. And by the way, awesome. my wife's a sweetheart. So I got none of my wife's my best friend.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. Well, I don't think that we need to really drag this any longer than we have to, you know. So what we're going to be doing, just kind of to talk about the schedule, you know, if we start picking up traction and this becomes a show that people are looking forward to the next one, we might be doing episodes every 2 weeks, but or every week. But for now, we're going to be coming out with episodes every other Monday. And we are going to be airing this one probably on a Thursday or Friday with the first episode that following Monday. So if you guys are listening to this now, the next Monday, that is when episode one is going to be launching. We'll be having a great interview and great talk. We won't share the guests, and I was going to say we are excited and didn't want to speak for Chuck, but Chuck, I think you've expressed the same sentiment.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to, it's definitely going to be a different type of Green Tree Python show. I think a little bit more sit down, formal, really dig into some, you know, like you said, lineage stuff. And me personally, a lot of the things that I don't get to really get in depth with some people that I don't talk to every day who are breeders in the community is I want to hear about very specific incubation techniques, containers, substrates.
Right.
What type of water are you using? What are your temperatures? Are you changing temperatures?
Lay boxes. Like that's one thing that if you look up online, you don't see a lot of information on what people are using in their lay boxes.
Yeah. Oh, you have people like Marshall Mendez. He uses a cork log, and he's got albino chondros being laid underneath of it. A $12 log. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And most of these things, the best thing I think sometimes for green trees is just really simplistic. They like it simple. This stuff behind me is it's simplistic in the material that is used, but they don't need all this stuff. I think the only thing that they probably need that most people don't typically pay attention to, and it's just my personal opinion, I've seen a lot of my import animals really chill out from having the foliage up top, being able to hide under something. You know, they don't want to pick a fight with you. You know, they're not nasty. They're scared. So if they feel like they can tuck their head, and I've seen it, you know, with that female that wanted to go after me, she was a fireball when I first got her. She's a wild caught biot. She's scared. And even into adulthood, she mellowed out a little bit, but still gets defensive. But once I put those leaves in there and I spray her down real quick, she tucks her eyes under her coils, and she lets me pick up the perch and knows that she's not going to get bothered or hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, I noticed that same thing in my enclosures. You know, I have plants in, you know, my two Aru's enclosures, and they'll, you know, the plants are growing up, but they'll typically pick the perch that's like in the middle to where they are like right at the plant's level to where they can hide where the plants are. And they, both of them just choose to be right behind that plant. They really like to just feel secure under some leaves. At least it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not sizing you up.
Yeah. You know, and we were talking about, we were talking about just different topics, and, you know, I was thinking in my head, one thing that I really want to, you know, have people on more than just an episode or two is I really want to pick people's brain about maternal incubation as well.
I got a couple guests for that.
Awesome. Yeah. I heard Vin Russo speaking on it, and that almost like convinced me. Obviously I'm probably at least a couple years out from potentially, you know, if I'm lucky, if the chondro gods kind of speak to me and let me do this. Right. After hearing that, I was almost dead set. Now I got 2 years to still think, debate, decide, but yeah, I know it's a goal of mine for my retics. And so, you know, I'll probably experiment a little too with the chondros.
Nice. Nice. And one thing I will say is, doing this show is going to be fantastic because you're going to get to talk to so many people that have done this repeatedly, and you're going to really like, you know, a lot of some of the things that maybe one person says, and that person's going to have maternally incubated before, And you're also going to find someone that keeps ambient. Right. So you could pick that person basically as your mentor, ask them to be your mentor, and then just copycat them the best you possibly can.
Right. Exactly. And that's one big thing is I do need to find someone doing this ambient. You know, I've talked to, you know, Ryan Young, and he does it ambient, but he also uses during breeding season, he uses like hotspots, like with gravid females. And I'm like, man, but is someone doing it strictly ambient? You know, Ryan Young is the Python man, right? So if, like, homeboy wants to say, like, if he's telling me, like, you know, use a hotspot when they're, you know, gravid, like, all right. But I'm so interested to hear all the different styles, all the different techniques, different methods. And like I said, this is a platform that I am like, I'm strictly here to learn. And, you know, it's different than like the retic lounge. You know, the retic lounge, we present ourselves, we're not experts, right? But we have bred for several seasons and we have experience. And so we are doing educational episodes, just me and Nate. Any educational episodes that we do with me and you, that's going to be led by you. I'm going to be asking you the question. So this is literally strictly just for like learning and networking and making connections with new people, you know, some of the old heads, right, that have been doing this forever. And yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah, you're going to be excited once I start to break, you know, especially some of the people that I keep in touch with, the peers are kind of on the same level as me, really just getting, you know, getting started in their breeding careers. And some of the things that they're doing are, I always say this, is it's the most progressive species to keep and breed right now, period. It's the most ever evolving. It's growing in popularity. It's growing in popularity. It's growing with people having success, and people are trying a lot of new different things and having a lot of success with them. And some of the things I hear, I'm like, wait, what? You did what? You know, that was like that snake I cut out because I thought it was, tied up its umbilical. And I showed you, I put it in a WWF shot glass with a little distilled water, and it was an artificial egg. I had shot glasses insane in my incubator.
That's insane. Yeah, man. I don't want to beat this like a dead horse. I'm excited. I'm so happy you said yes. It's so nice to have someone that's got their feet wet in this, you know, and just the conversations that we've had over the last few weeks while we started planning this have been awesome. Like every time that we talk on the phone, I feel more and more secure that like we got something good that we're cooking, and we're not here to impress. We're not here to be flashy. We're here to be humble, and we're here to learn and just enjoy for the ride. So Chuck, you want to say anything else before we kind of wrap up and air our first episode here in a few days?
I think I just want to thank you for your vote of confidence in me. Honestly, I was pretty flattered when you reached out to me, that I was your first choice. So that was, that took, like I said, it would have been an initial no, should someone have asked me hypothetically, but you coming to me and, you know, I respect you a lot. I think you're very successful with the Retic Lounge, and, I believe in you as a podcaster. And, that's honestly why I said yes, not to mention, you know, why not? I get to come in here and talk snakes with good people and make a new friend and I don't know. I'm excited. I don't know what to say. I don't even want to get off. I want to keep on talking after we end this episode.
Right. Exactly. I do appreciate the kind words. It means a lot. And like I said, you saying yes. Let's get the show on the way, man.
Rock on. Let's go. I'm excited.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to our intro episode. We'll see you guys just in a few days. And again, every other Monday, and we'll catch you guys soon.